Good evening. Somebody left a sticky note up here for everybody that's coming up. I think it was here this morning as well. Any of you guys see this? Okay. All right. Glad you saw it. All right. You can all come up and read it later. Okay. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We were in this chapter last time I was... had the opportunity to bring a message. And we did a few verses, 8 through 11, as I recall. Tonight we're going to look at 12 and 13. Normally I'm not doing things in the order that they are in the books. I'm just kind of picking and choosing sections that I would want to do some messages on. So we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 tonight of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul, inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penning this letter, is closing it out, and he says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Let's go to our Lord. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to be together, to be at your table, to be lifted by our faith, which will someday be sight, but to be lifted by our faith into your presence, to be seated in and among the great multitude, that great throng that partake with you. Father, I'm appreciative. I've been called out of darkness into your marvelous light. And I'm thankful for the privilege of being able to encourage, be able to edify, and be able to equip the brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray for the message tonight that be a blessing to them, and it would bring glory and honor to you. Father, so appreciative for all that you have made clear through your word so that we know how we can operate as an assembly to bring honor and glory to you. Again, just so thankful for Christ Jesus who makes us available, makes all things possible for all of us that are in Christ. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, this may seem a little bit like a self-serving message tonight. I stand before you. I'm going to do a couple of verses that have to do with leadership, and I know many of you look at me as leadership, so I'm sure you're already back and you're leaning back in your seats going, okay, what's this all about? But really, I don't want you to think of me tonight. I really don't. I want you to think of others in this body that labor amongst us. Okay, that's really who I want you to think of. One of the things that I've been concerned with probably in the last couple of years, but more so in the last year or so, is the transition from the older folks like myself. I'm now one of the older people in the assembly. There are some that are older than me still. Not many. Okay, not many. But I've been thinking about, okay, so if we're doing things right, we should be ready to transition, you know, say from my leadership, if something should happen to me or whatever, to the next group coming up behind me. See, and if we're doing things right as an assembly and we're following the pattern and the exhortation that the scripture gives us to church leadership, that we're entrusting things to faithful men who will then in turn entrust these to others also, there's going to be a continuous cycle of potential leadership being developed within a body of Christ. So, as I bring this message tonight, I want you to think not about me, okay? I'm just a guy bringing a message and talking to you guys about requesting of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. Okay? And this is primarily Paul's talking about in this letter about those that would be in leadership positions. Now, 1 Timothy and Titus, 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 2, they're going to talk about elders and deacons and things of that nature and qualities or qualifications, whatever you want to call it, of those, and worthy of double honor and all that. And we teach that to folks when we're telling them about how Christ's church is constructed according to the scripture, how you run an assembly, how it should be organized, how it should be effectively put to use to the glory of God. But I'm not so sure that in the first century churches that there was a whole lot of guys you know, a mix of Jew and Gentile, that had all the time in the world to devote themselves completely, 100% of their time, to being an elder or an, understand what I'm saying here. I don't know that they were able to be full-time like we would think. Now, I'm sure there were some. I don't know how many. But I think many of them that became elders, worked as deacons in the Lord's church, were like many of us. They had an outside job or some other means of making a living while they were performing the duty or the office of an elder or a deacon or an evangelist. Paul, we have an example of that, don't we? There was a point before Paul got to where he was fully supported where he was doing the work of a tent maker. So I like to make a stop and think. So, you know, in our assembly, we do not have elders ordained because we want to follow the scriptural pattern. But we have leadership. We have leadership. See, and one of the things you can go back and look at is, you know, when it talked about Paul and Silas, I believe, being, or Barnabas being sent out, when they basically ordained them to be sent out, I believe that's Acts chapter 12 or 13, which if I get there somewhere in there. Okay. There was prophets and teachers there. And anyhow, doesn't say they had elders. But they had people that knew the Word of God, could teach the Word of God. By the way, that's one of the characteristics of an elder, but it doesn't call these guys elders, it says teachers. But they then ordained them to be sent out to do the work of taking the message out, if you want to say it in modern day vernacular, missionary, so to speak, from that local congregation. So, again, what I'm trying to get us to look at is that congregations had leadership, and they were not always, even in the New Testament, you know, equipped with elders. I believe that maybe it was this morning that you mentioned, Luke, that it appears Corinth didn't have any elders. I agree with Luke. It appears they did not. But they were functioning as a body. There were some in leadership, some that were trying to get into leadership. I mean, we can see all the problems that came from that. My point is tonight that there is leadership that develops in a congregation. And one of the things that you see right away, it says, we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who labor among you. See, a leader will be recognized without a title when he's willing to do the work. One of the qualities of an elder, it's a fine work he desires to do. Whether he's paid or not, if somebody wants to be an elder, they're going to set their life on the course of becoming an elder because it's a work they desire to do. Brethren, we request you, appreciate. And that word in the Greek is a word that really is typically translated to know or to see. But it has a little bit more meaning than just to know or to see. And it's the word oido or eido. It depends on how you look at the spelling. Okay, O-I-D-O or E-I-D-O. Okay. And it means that you see or know, and you know it well enough, very well, that you can appreciate the value. That you perceive the value. That's really what that word means. To know or see something well enough that you perceive the value. So that's why it's translated in New American Standard. You appreciate. King James, and I think the New King James also might say, know that you know your leaders, that you know those who labor. Well, of course I know who it is. It's a guy up front haranguing me every Lord's Day. I know. Well, okay, great. But do you know what they do? Do you appreciate what they do? See, and this is what Paul's saying to the church in Thessalonica, man. They're a great church operating really, really well, but they seem to have one big problem, and that's the Lord's second coming. And it really doesn't surprise me. That's a pretty big problem for people out there today. The Lord's second coming. Is it confusing? For the average individual, you bet it is. And unfortunately, in the Lord's church, it is still for many. So Paul is, after he goes through all that stuff again about the Lord's return, second coming, all the things associated with that, early in chapter 4 and on into chapter 5, talking about encouraging one another through the perseverance, the oppression, and the spiritual darkness that surrounds them. we get to this after encouraging one another. He says, all right, brethren, we request of you that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you. And this is the kind of labor that brings fatigue. Let's use a term that we would understand in our vernacular today. It's called burnout. Make sense? I mean, you work so hard at this, you are just plain worn out. Our society, our culture calls it burnout. I'm not saying that's what's the meaning of this word here. I'm just saying, understand that that's the kind of, if you're working to where you're fatigued. You know, I don't know if any of you ever can remember when you were young and you saw mom or dad or somebody doing something, you know, I don't pick a chore that you thought would be fun to do. Hey, dad's out, you know, he's digging and he's doing this and he's back in the backyard doing whatever for mom and planting those trees and they look, I mean, I'd like to do that with dad, right? So from the time you're a little whippersnapper, you're asking to help dad, right? So you get old enough, you get out, and dad says, okay, grab the shovel, we're going out, we're going to plant some trees for mom, and then we're going to grab the hoe, we're going to weed the garden. Come on, man. Oh, you're all excited because you get to work with dad, right? And you get out there in about 15 minutes, and you look at dad and you go, dad, this is work. Yeah. A little bit more than you thought, right? See, it's work. And there are those who are going to labor among you diligently. And many of them are going to labor and be very, very busy. The guys that are in leadership in this body, and I think most of you guys know them. I think you know them. You see us come out of this room if you're here, you know, before 7 o'clock on Lord's Day evening. You'll see us come out of the room here every so often. You know, and there will be 5 or 6 of us to come wandering out. You'll see Jared, you'll see me, you'll see Larry, you'll see Nolan, you'll see Luke. You know, Nolan and Luke do the work of evangelists here in our congregation. And then Mike Wodoseski. Okay? So those are the ones that you know, most of you now know, okay, so these are kind of the guys that are in leadership. You know, we've got some guys that are coming up that we're trying to develop. And these guys are already showing that they're willing to do the work, to put in the work, to diligently labor among you and with others. Seeing nobody's told them, you got to do this if you want to be an evangelist. You got to do this if you want to be an evangelist. They just did it. See, and so you recognize guys like that. I do. You know? And so those who diligently labor among you, do you know them? Do you know how busy Larry is? Do you know how busy Jared is? Talk to their wives. There's always something going on. I can tell you in the early days of the assembly, Luke and I both worked full-time jobs and did everything that we could in this assembly with the help of other guys, a handful of guys. But a lot of work was being done by primarily Luke and I and maybe one or two others. But primarily Luke, let's just be honest, was doing a lot of it and I was helping him out. I don't ever remember Luke saying, I'm the evangelist here. Never heard him say that. Now when there was decisions that had to be made, we'd come together as a men's meeting and we'd talk about things. When it came right down to it, a decision had to be made and there wasn't total agreement. You know what would happen is, it was the old E.F. Hutton story for most of us. There are always some that wouldn't, you know. But Luke would say, well, I think this is, you know, we'd give Luke's opinion a little bit more weight because Luke was heavily invested into the work. Luke had a great sense of people, wise beyond his years, still is in my opinion. Had a great upbringing. I mean, his dad, many of us know, had that benefit, but I mean, he proved himself. He diligently labored amongst us, so when it came time to where we wanted to have Luke do what Luke was good at full time, as I recall, I don't think Luke came to us and said, hey, you guys got to find a way to get me free from JCPenney, where he was selling shoes. As I recall, the conversations became, you know, we need to get Luke free from JCPenney's. That was more the type of conversation. See, we appreciated the type of labor that Luke was putting into the congregation, the assembly here. We wanted to find a way to take advantage of his talents. So we decided we were going to support Luke. And that's how Luke became the full-time evangelist here. And you guys haven't failed since. We've supported his family ever since. Right? And now we have Nolan who's coming on. and is an outstanding young man. And I know his dad knew before any of us. That he said, if Nolan gets hold of this thing, man, he's going to be great. He's going to take this thing and go with it for all it's worth. Nolan's an evangelist. We support Nolan. Nolan does a ton of work. A ton of work. Right? And all the guys are in leadership. Talk to Katya. Mike's busy, busy, busy. All right? So there's guys that have invested their time and done that and have had the ability to do that. And so the scripture says, to those we want to appreciate, we want to know them. So do you know the ones who labor amongst you? Now, I'm not just talking about those guys, but think about you ladies. Think about some of the gals in this assembly that you know are doing lots of stuff. No horn to toot, no spotlight goes on them. Do we diligently? Do we appreciate those who diligently labor? All the people in the school, all this. Now, I'm going to step back now and go back to just the leadership, because I really believe this is what Paul is driving at in this letter to the Thessalonians, is those in leadership that are laboring among the people. And that would primarily be, according to the scriptural pattern, the men. Because that's what God had called them to. Okay? Do you appreciate them? That's the question. Do you know them? Do you know what they do? And you got to understand that good leaders are those that are the ones that are going to do the work. They're people interested in serving, not being served. By the way, spiritual slackers who try to grab the reins, they're not worthy of esteem or appreciation. There are those who will try and do that. Let's take a look at a couple of quick passages, and this is going to be a two-part message. Let's go back to Acts, back to Acts chapter 20. Let's just take a quick look at a few passages here. Acts chapter 20 and verses 33 through 35. Actually, we'll begin in verse 32. Paul speaking to the elders. Okay. From Ephesus, he called down to Miletus. Verse 32, he says, "And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's in Acts chapter 20, verse 32. He says, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that by working hard," that's basically that same word, labor diligently. "Working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give and to receive." Paul's saying, here's what I did. He's not tooting his horn. He said, this is what it takes. I coveted no one's silver or gold. You know that these hands, ministered to my own needs and the men who were with me. You're not going to get rich if you're an evangelist in the assembly. Right, Luke? You're not. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Talking about the elders. Now, we don't have any, but we do have guys that do the work of the office of an elder, although they're not an elder. Verse 17, "Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard." See, what is the classification of those you're going to esteem and you're going to appreciate? Work hard. They're busy. They're doing things all the time, and a lot of their time, spare time, spent on things relative to the Lord's church. Now, there are others that do this as well. They're not in leadership in our assembly. I think many of you know who they are. Let's talk about some of those others that are out there. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I just want you to see some of these verses. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 16, verses 15 and 16. "Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanas, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints." Now, I don't believe these are elders. All right? "That you also be in subjection." Well, you would probably esteem and be in subjection to those who labor among you and who are over you, as Paul said to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 5, that you also be in subjection to such men and to everyone who helps in the work and labors. See, those that are involved in the work and labors, you know what? You want to be in subjection to them. You know, when we're doing things around here that are of a physical nature and we have projects going on and we have somebody running that project, if they tell you that's what they want done, you don't argue. 1 Corinthians 16 says here you'd be in subjection to them. We've had guys that have run projects here, right? We don't argue. You know, Pat Hopper ran some projects around here most recently. It's been a few years. But when Pat said this way he wanted it done, I don't think guys would stand and argue with you. Did they, Pat? I don't remember they did. Pat was entrusted with getting the project done. Pat said this is what we need done. We do it. Be in subjection to such men. Everyone who helps in the work and labors. Hey, we all get to be subject to one another, right? That's what it says. How about those that have charge over you? And we're just going to touch on this and then close on this tonight and pick up the second half of this message that I have, along with going forward from there, more into verse 13, the next time that I'm before you. But it says, these are ones who diligently labor among you, and it says they have charge over you. Again, that word's a little deceptive in the way that it's, I shouldn't use that term. It's not completely translated, I don't believe, as well as it could be. That's why I like studying the Greek, because the translators do the best they can to communicate what they believe the word really means and make it understandable. And I think overall the New American Standard translators do a pretty good job, but they have some words that they don't do a good job of translating on. You know, things like worship and service. One of them. Okay. But here he says, you know, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you. This word, the Greek word here is proistime. And it carries a picture, or communicates a picture of one who stands before you. That doesn't sound like somebody over you, does it? It sounds like it's supposed to be communicating someone who stands before you to lead as an example that's worthy to be followed. Now, who does that make you think of? Jesus Christ, right? Who was the great example? Didn't he leave us an example, footsteps, which we can follow? Didn't he go before us? He wasn't lording it over us. Go get him, boy. He went first before you. Good leaders, brethren, lead, and they're out in front. They're the ones that are before you, providing that example. So the guys that have come to be recognized as leadership in this assembly have done those kind of things. Been out in front doing things. Now, if you want to be a leader, some of you young guys that come up, you know who you are. As I'm talking about what the congregation should appreciate and how they should view a leader, you need to be putting in your head, this is what's required to be a leader. See, it's two-sided here. It isn't just the assembly subjecting themselves to your, you know, autocratic rule. It's you providing an example that they want to follow. See? You should be at every assembly that you should... When the church is assembled together, except for me, I'm a leader, and Sunday nights are, you know, those are my nights. So you guys make sure you hit the assembly. I'll see you midweek. The example has to be strong. Your priorities have to be evident, so that when you can call people to that, they can look at you and go, hey, man, what he's calling me to do, he's doing himself, right? Good leader, right, in the restaurant industry. You're in the kitchen. I know you were. I was there eating many times at Texas Roadhouse when Nolan worked there. And I'd look, and Nolan's right there in the midst of everything, working with him. He'd not stand off the side, leaned up against the wall going, you got that bun wrong. That salad's got too much cheese. Get, you know, he's in the middle of it. And his guys fought him because he was right there in the middle working with him. A good leader is right there in the middle of it. So, you know, we got those who have charge over you are those who stand before you. I'm confident we can call any of the guys that are part of leadership, put them up here, and you guys might go, well, no, he actually is pretty good at doing that. Actually, it's a pretty good example. Doggone it. Can't find really much to pick on about him, if I'm being honest. He really does put a lot of effort into the assembly. You know, does a lot. You know, so those who have charge over you, those are the ones who have stood before you, have led by their example. They're worthy to be followed. Not one who, like I said, is just going to lord it over you. So, Paul is one who had charge over congregations, and he could say, imitate me. We had the men's prayer breakfast yesterday, and somebody mentioned something about, you know, we were talking about imitating. Somebody said a nice thing to me, but it still makes me uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you. Oh, we're just going to imitate you. No. Imitate Christ. Well, we'll imitate you while you're fine. Okay, great. They'll tell you, I'm kind of like, oh, okay, I guess, you know. I'm still a little uncomfortable with that. All right, but Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you. How often do you see Jared, Nolan, Larry, Mike Wadiseski up here? Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. See, let's get Kevin off the board and let's get these guys on board. You'll get young guys come up. Two young guys that I'm going to tell you that I think you guys know. Maybe not, but if you don't, you should. Two young guys. One of them's an evangelist. He knows it. I'm trying to get his parents to understand that. I think they know it too. That's Lorenzo Serrano. That guy's going to be an evangelist. Don't you guys think so? That was pretty weak. Don't you guys think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know so. And we got a guy, I think he's going to be a tremendous, tremendous elder if he sets his mind to it. He's never told me he intends to do it. That's Roger Migalski. These guys put a lot of time in this assembly, and they put a lot of time into individuals. I know. See, these are two guys that I personally am going to do all I can to see that they're moving on up, okay, and in the eyes of the congregation. So you notice, hey, Roger's up here a lot more, and Lorenzo's up here a lot. Yeah, for a reason. That doesn't dismiss or discount any of you younger guys. Please don't get me wrong. But they're up here because they've displayed a desire to do these types of things, particularly good at communicating for the most part, right? I mean, and have great wisdom at a young age, both of them. Hey, church needs those guys, don't they? I don't know if both of them are going to stay in this assembly. I think Roger probably will. I don't know what Lorenzo's future is. If he's an evangelist, don't know where he could go. I keep telling his parents they can't move. But Lorenzo doesn't live with his parents anymore. So, do you? You don't, right? So, look, I just want you guys to think about this. We're trying to create and follow the pattern of the New Testament here. Amen? Everything we do, we try to follow the New... Not try, we do follow the New Testament pattern, don't we? We've had lots of discussions about that. Well, one of the patterns in the New Testament is we develop leadership. And then we develop the type of leadership that when Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, he's writing to the church in Billings, isn't he? We urge you, brethren, that you appreciate, know, value those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you, are out in front as those great examples and are calling you to follow the Lord and are not ashamed or fearful to call you to follow their example, to imitate them. That's saying, put the microscope on me. I have no problem with it. That's what leadership's about. So, brethren, we request you. Now, Paul was working with Silvanus and others when he was in Thessalonica. We request you. I'm speaking for all the guys in leadership and the ones that are coming up. I'm speaking for Lorenzo. I'm speaking for Roger and others that will come behind them. I believe we got more. We request you know those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you. And we'll talk next time about those who admonish you. I'm going to tell you also, you'll notice it when verse 13 closes off there. It says, "Let be at peace with one another." You want to know how you have peace in assembly? Good leadership. Good leadership. Thanks for your attention. Let's stand. Father, I'm thankful that you have so many examples within the Scripture of those who were tremendous leaders, but they needed assistance. I think of the battle as they came out of Egypt against the Amalekites, as recorded in Exodus 17. Moses went up on that mountain, and he raised his arms as the labor, or as the battle raged, and Joshua and the men labored down below in the battle. But those arms got heavy, and as his arms had come down, and all of a sudden the Amalekites, you say in your word, would start to overcome and get the advantage. So who pops up to help Moses out? Aaron and Hur. Two leaders. Two future really important leaders. So Lord, you've showed us that it's not a one-man show. It takes a group of men, maybe with a point man leading it, but a group of men in leadership to get this done so that you'll be glorified. So I'm thankful again for the consistency of the message and for the example and the samples that are there for us. And I'm so appreciative for the men that labor amongst this congregation. I am so appreciative for them. Father, as I draw closer to my exodus, as I get older, I am very, very secure with the fact that I know this assembly is well equipped with good men that will be great leaders going forward. And for you to provide that here, I am so grateful and thankful that the gospel call brings these type of men out of the darkness and into your light to serve. I appreciate them all. Love them all. I hope they know that. So thankful for everything that they do for me. For me. Help us all to have that attitude and be appreciative, to know them, to value them. Thank you again for sending Christ Jesus to demonstrate how much you valued us, to lead by example, to stand and go before us. Thank you so much for that. Just pray that you would bless the assembly. Help us all to get home safely from here and get a good night's rest. And if you should tarry and we rise tomorrow, that we should have the opportunity to remember who we are as your people. Thank you again, Father, for being so patient, so merciful, so kind to us, and really proven what love is. And love is serving. Love is selfless. Help us to love those who labor amongst us because of their work. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.